Hello, this is LaRue Atkinson again. Welcome to the Spiritual Constitution series. We're in our fifth part today, and today we're going to be talking about the facilitation of the vision, the seeking phase, what to do with the Constitution or vision or petition once you've written it, how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. This is some of the exciting, most exciting revelations I've received from the Holy Spirit in the course of my life with Him. Let's review back Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it, he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In the first part of this series, we talked about the progression of asking and then the progression of seeking all the way to the door where the bread of what you're believing God for lives, whether it's revival, whether it's an unsaved lost one of your family coming into the kingdom of God, whether it's wisdom, generational inheritance, whatever God has placed within your heart, what you're believing Him for, there's always a journey called faith. From the time you ask in faith, you're immediately set on a journey. In that journey, the very next place you go is to a place called seeking. That's where God's going to change the motives of your heart. That's where God's going to develop your hope. That's where God's going to develop your faith. That's where the devil's going to test every fiber of your being. The Holy Spirit's going to take you on a spiritual journey all the way to the door of where that bread lives. Remember, it's a spiritual door. You can't find it with your natural senses. You can't find it with human sufficiency. You can't find it with the wisdom of man. It takes the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It takes faith. It takes a progression. It takes a journey. It takes doing things God's way and not man's way. And that's really what we're talking about in this series. How to co-labor with the Holy Ghost in birthing the promises, visions, and destinies that God has placed within your heart. You know, there's only one way to bring forth heavenly things. They must be born of promise. How many times have we seen throughout the Bible men have tried to stand in the seat of human sufficiency to perform God's will? But God over and over again has said, no flesh will glory in my presence. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we have to learn how to do it God's way. And throughout this series, we've been talking about how to develop that Constitution. In the last teaching, we taught you how to write it. Now we're going to teach you about that seeking phase. This is the most crucial phase of all. This is where most of the people fall short of ever finding the door of where that bread lives. Whether it's the enemy that takes them out, or whether they get distracted in the affairs of this life, they forget, they do not properly co-labor with the Holy Spirit, but that's not going to be said of you and I. Amen? Let me take you back to Habakkuk for a minute. I want to see a very key part of that verse. And we discussed this story in the last couple of teachings, but I want you to see one more thing. So we're going to major on that today. Habakkuk 2 and 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. You're going to get to run in the seeking phase. This is the place where your hope gets to run. It's the place where your faith gets to run. And eventually, it's the place you'll get to run in the natural with it. Look at verse 3. And the vision is yet for an appointed time. And from the time God speaks it to your heart and the time you write it, there is an appointed time for the fulfillment. That, my friend, is what I call the seeking time. Remember, you ask, you seek, and you knock. Once you get to the door of knocking, the bread is yours. It's the seeking phase, the most important phase of all of it, because that's where that eternal deposit that was sown into your spirit with the faith of God in it develops into a godly hope. And that godly hope develops into faith, and faith develops into the kind of foundation where substance can add itself to, all the way to the outpouring into the natural, changing the very world that you live in. Amen? Watch what he says here. But at the end, that's when you're getting close to the door. It shall speak. We're going to find out how to get our vision to speak. Speak in the throne room of God. Speak to our hearts. Speaking to our circumstances. We're going to develop an atmosphere around our life that speaks of the promise of God, that speaks of the destiny of God more than the atmosphere that the enemy provides of discouragement, an atmosphere, he says, have, God says, of doubt and fear, a wandering, wishing, hoping. No, we're not led by our circumstances, my friend. We're going to have to develop an atmosphere around this promise. And now that you've written it, you have the most important part. But now we're going to get into the seeking phase. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. And again, if you've not downloaded the sermon notes, go ahead and pause the camera for a minute. Download the sermon notes and we'll come back. All right. If you're coming back, we're at Proverbs chapter 4, Spiritual Constitution, session 5, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Today we're going to teach you how to attend that promise. Just like attending a garden. You've got to give attendance to it. You can't be checked out concerning the promises of God and expect to be a healthy co-laborer with God. No, you got to be present. Remember, the Holy Spirit already said he's your comforter. He's going to be with you always. Jesus left him with us. He abides in us. He's always present there to co-labor with us. But many times we're checked out. We're going to have to learn how to be attendant. We're going to have to learn to attend the promises of God, to give our time, to give our attention, to give our faith. All of that's part of the attendance process. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's get started. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So before we find substance, which is the actual manifestation of the bread that's behind the door we're looking for, there's something called faith. And before faith, there's something called hope. So we see three progressions right there. Hope, faith, substance. All of that, the hope and the faith cycle, lives in the cycle called seeking. Once you get to the door of the bread, that's the substance that he's speaking of here. The bread, the door, knocking on the door, you're getting the bread. That's the substance phase. We're going to be talking about the hope and faith stage, and we're going to give it to you. We're going to give you a lot of tools, a lot of information. We're going to teach you how to develop that godly hope. We're going to teach you how to develop an atmosphere around it where the Holy Spirit can brood over it and incubate over that promise. Oh, this is exciting. I tell you, you are a world changer. The destiny of God within you. Listen to what he says here. The things hoped for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My friend, if you're ever going to birth for the kingdom of God, it's not going to come by looking in the natural. You're going to have to retrain your spiritual senses. We're going to teach you how to do that. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith. Look at verse 3. Very powerful scripture. We understand that the worlds were framed. Thus framing your world. This is where we got our logo and our name, Framing Your World. We're framed by the Word of God. By faith, through faith, we understand the worlds. Now, that word worlds means eons. It means the actual generations that you live in were framed by the single solitary promise of God living in the heart of individuals much like you and I that incorporated faith, that came into that co-labor and process with the Holy Spirit, birthed that heavenly promise in the earth and changed the very dimension, the very world, the very generation that they lived in. Wow! You know, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of exceedingly great and precious promises within the well of my spirit. And I want to see them pour out of my belly like rivers of living water. And I've already been down the road enough to know and around the mountain enough to know it's not coming through my own sufficiency. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It comes through a process of co-laboring. It's taken a long time to understand how the Holy Spirit co-labors. But the beautiful thing in this series, I'm going to give you what took me 20 years to learn. You're going to get in a very short time. So pay attention because I'm going to give you some very powerful tools. Amen. Now listen to this. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which were seen in the natural were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that a powerful? What you see in the generation you live in. The acts of God, they were not made by the things that do appear. They were made in another realm altogether. And we want to get in touch with that realm. We want to co-labor in that realm where everything is birthed from that place. Look at verse 6. But without faith, now this is extremely important, right? Extremely important. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must. Do you hear that word? You must believe that he is. He is what? He is everything he said he was. When God gives you a promise of wisdom, you must believe that he has forever settled the fact that his wisdom is made available to you in fullness. You've got to believe that. I'll say it like this. You have to know that God has done everything he's ever going to do through the finished work of the cross. You must believe that he is before you get to the next phase. You've got to know that he perfected it. If you don't, you'll waver in the middle of the process. You have to know that you know that you know that he did it, because it's going to be tried. You can't even go to the next part of that verse until you know he forever settled your life. I'll give you an example. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4 for a minute. Look at verse 16. Let's look at a man that know that God is. Because God rewarded this man Abraham exceedingly great. Because what did Hebrews say? There in 6. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let's look at a man that believed God for what he said. Let's look at his testimony. Romans 4 and 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is the law, but that which is also the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and call things that be not as though they were. Abraham had to believe that. God said, Abraham, do you believe I can take a dead man's spirit and bring it to life again? Abraham said, yes. He goes, good, because I got to use your faith to call things that be not as though they were. You're going to have to birth from a spiritually dead womb. And when you can do that, son, when you can birth when there is no birthing, through calling things that be not as though they were. Look at the next verses. Being not weak, look at verse 18. Who against hope in the natural, my friend, you're never going to find the kind of hope you need with God looking in the natural, believed in hope. What do you think he believed that? He believed in that original promise that was sown into his heart, my friend, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so that shall it be. He had to believe that. He had to see that. That's why God said, Abraham, look at the stars, look at the sand. He had to get that permanently embedded within the canvas of his spirit. The Holy Spirit had to use Abraham's imagination to paint that picture within him, because he wasn't going to find hope through the world system. He wasn't going to find hope looking at Sarah's dead womb. He wasn't going to find hope looking at his natural birthing faculties. No, sir, he had to find hope through that promise. The Bible said it had to be born of promise. Hallelujah. Look at here. Verse 9, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body. See, he wasn't looking at his own body. He was looking at the promise. I'm going to teach you how to look at that promise. I'm going to teach you how to do that, my friend. It's one of the most important things you're ever going to learn in this life. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God. See, he didn't stagger at it. He held it. My friend, you need to build an edifice around your life if you're not going to stagger. Why do you think God said to write the vision? You're going to get tested. You're going to have to see something with your senses and your natural eye when everything around you says, have God said. You got to pull it together and look at that constitution and that vision of promise says, God has said, it's right here. I wrote it down. I've asked for it. Against hope, believing in hope. See, that's God's way of doing things. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. It was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He wasn't strong in faith looking at his circumstances. No, Abraham had to learn what the greatest men in our generation and past history have learned. They're going to have to look at the promise of God. Look at the dimension. I'm going to teach you how to do that, my friend. I'm going to teach you how the Holy Spirit can paint your future on the canvas of your spirit to such a degree you won't even look in the natural anymore. You'll be looking at the promise of God. You got to look in that place. Change the place you're looking, my friend. As you keep looking in the natural, the devil will certainly paint you a picture. And the principle behind his kingdom hath, God said, full of doubt and unbelief. Look at this, verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's a man that came to God and first believed that he is. So you got to know that going in. When God told you that you're going to have a ministry to the nations, you're going to have a business empire that's going to feed the gospel in this last hour, you got to know that God said that. When the enemy tests you, you got to know. Be fully persuaded God has said it. You got to know, because you cannot doubt God in this process. The enemy's going to try to get you to doubt the very source. You got to first believe that he is. Then he'll be a rewarder of those that go on and diligently seek that standing. We're in the seeking phase. See, you got to diligently seek it now. You got to co-labor. One of the very most important things is you got to be forever settled that you've been forever perfected. My friend, you got to know this. See, God calls things in from the beginning. He stands as the Alpha and Omega. Watch what he says here. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Powerful, powerful, powerful verse. One of the most powerful in all of the New Testament. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 10 and 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That is your standing, branded permanently into your heart, branded upon your forehead, branded in the palms of your hands, branded on your tongue, branded in frontlets of your eyes. You are forever perfected. God calls you complete before he ever starts you. He calls the thing finished before he ever begins it. That's God's way. See it that way. When you're in the trial and you don't look what God says you look like, said, no. The Bible says, I'm forever perfected. That's truth. I'm in a process. I'm growing. I'm in a seeking process. But the hope within me is becoming greater than anything I see in this natural dimension. Oh, my friends, I tell you, if you'll learn to look in that place and see things, then God will reward those that go on and diligently seek that standing. Know that you're forever perfected. Not when you get to heaven, now. Look at John 19 and 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. God called and works with a finished work, my friend. He begins from the foundation of a finished work. He finishes it and says, begin. Hallelujah. Revelations 21 and 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Wow. Standing from the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I don't know how God does it, but he has a way to stand in past history, present, and all the way in the future. Do you know that God is presently inhabiting your future? Where you're going to be in 10 years from now? He's already standing there and saying, come on, boy, I see the end from the beginning. I see who you are in your future, not what you are now. The devil's always trying to tell you who you are now. God said, I've already seen who you are in your future. I have a plan and purpose for you. Hallelujah. A plan of good and not evil, to give unto you a desired end. Glory be to God. I want to talk to you a minute about the process of hope. Go to Romans 8 and we'll look at verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Isn't that powerful? Let's read that again. For we are saved by hope, but a hope that is seen is not hope. You're not saved by the hope you see in the natural. Oh, you have that inner witness within. See, and that's the same way God births from that same place. There's a hope within. You got to learn to turn your eyes and turn your senses to that place. You got to learn to look into that realm. I'm going to teach you how to look in that realm. I'm going to give you a powerful, powerful tools of how to look into that dimension of hope. You got to learn to look into that place, my friend. That hope that is not seen. That place where not seen in the natural, but carrying that destiny. Nobody's ever going to see you the way God sees you until you manifest and break forth into the earth. But I tell you, a long time before you ever birth in the earth, you're going to see it within. You're going to birth within. You're going to live that whole destiny out within. God started it there. He incubates it there. He nurtures it there. He waters it there. He feeds it there. He's calling you to co-labor there. He's going to give you the victory report there, and then he's going to cause it to come out like a river of living water into the earth. But once it gets into the earth, my friend, it doesn't take any faith there. No, it's all within. It's God's way. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, just like Abraham, against the hope in the natural, believed in hope. Where did he find that hope? He found it in the promise. He found how to look within where God seeded the dominion of man's spirit. He learned how to incubate. He learned how the Holy Spirit overshadowed that promise. He learned to see the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore within the sanctified imagination. He learned to see the promise of God. He learned to say the promise of God. He learned to live in an atmosphere, my friend, that was not of this world. Just like Jesus in that boat in Mark 4. He received the promise of God. He said, let us go over to the other side. The Father showed him. They were going to go over to the land of Gadara where that demonic act was, that man with 6,000 devils. He said, let us go to the other side. Immediately the storms rose against him. It's going to happen every time, my friend. Guess what happened with the disciples? Every one of them looked in the natural, were moved in the natural. They saw the winds. They saw the storms, their emotion, their mind, their will, their words. Everything was consumed in the storm. But Jesus never left that position, sleeping in a boat. You know why he didn't leave it? Because he lived in the kingdom of God. He learned to turn all his senses into that realm. He learned how to turn his eyesight into that realm. My friend, if you were ever going to birth truly for God and learn the laws of faith, you must stop allowing your senses to feed upon what is in this world system. That's why it's so important to have the vision written. That's why it's so important to get it all around your senses. This next teaching, I'm going to tell you how to wrap it all around your senses. Get it around you. You got to attend to it. You got to bind it on the frontlets of your eyes, bind it upon your hands. You must see that that's the most important thing in life. Not what you're presently doing with human sufficiency. No, it's giving attendance to that promise. Within what God has said is your entire future. But God's going to let it birth one way and one way only. Hallelujah forever. Romans 15 says this, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Why does he want you to abound in hope? Because the next faith is substance, faith and substance. When God speaks to your heart, when God lays his will within your spirit, whether he breathes it in there through prophecy or dreams or visions or heavenly encounter or rhema word, when God makes entrance to your spirit, that word comes with a living hope. And listen to what he says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. You're going to go through a process. You got to stay in that joy and peace. Because with that word, there's a godly hope that comes with it. It gets seeded within your spirit. My friend, you're going to have to protect that hope with everything in you. If you don't, the enemy wants to neutralize it. He's coming after it. He has a whole kingdom. He wants to sabotage that hope within you. You're going to have to learn to raise a strong tower around it. Just like a mother hen with those little chickens, when they're little bitty, they need the utmost care. They have to have that warmth and that environment. They got to stay under the shadow before the incubation. It's protected. See, mama hen protection broods over it. You have to do the same thing with that promise. You got to brood. You got to release the Holy Spirit. You got to create an environment of brooding in your life. If you don't, the enemy's going to come after that. He wants to paralyze that hope. He wants to seize it and grab a hold of it and said, "Hap, God said." He wants to paralyze you. How many people do you know, maybe even you watching me today, you have paralyzed hope? You don't even know what God said anymore. God spoke to you on the mountain, but now you don't even know. Your hope has been battered and torn and bruised. You know what happened? You didn't have the proper wall. You didn't have the proper insulation around that hope. You got to get a shield, a high tower around it. You got to give attendance to it. If you don't, the enemy will. He's not afraid of you, my friend. He's afraid of that promise. He's seen too many men and women like you
that took a single solitary promise and literally framed the generation that they lived in. I've got one more scripture for you. A couple more. Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Ephesians 6 and 13. I'm going to talk to you for a minute about the shield of faith. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen to this scripture. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You mean that there is a shield? I mean, when I ran across this verse, I could not believe it. Listen to this again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, how many? Some? All the fiery darts of the adversary. You mean there is a shield somewhere in God's arsenal that can be raised around your life that could quench every fiery dart of the adversary? Wow. When I saw that, I said, Holy Spirit, obviously, I don't know very much about that shield because there's a lot of darts getting into my life. I mean, the enemy's been trying to paralyze and neutralize my hope. He invades my hope. Sometimes you get to that place that, it's hopeless because the circumstances have so been prevalent. They've invaded our life to such a degree. We have not known where to duck off. We've not known how to raise that shield. We've not known how to create an environment where we don't see or feel what's going on around us in the eye of the hurricane. Listen, you're never going to be promised a life without trials. He said the man that dug deep and built his house on the foundation, he said the floods came. But he built it on the rock. The man that built on the sand, the floods came and it washed his house. Both men that built on the sand or on the rock, the floods came. And when the floods came, the man that was on the rock, his house stood, was not moved. The man that was on the sand, it blew it by. My friend, we must build upon the rock of God. The rock of His promise, the rock of His word, the rock of His sayings, the rock of His ways of doing things. The floods are going to come, but you know there's an eye you can live in against hope, believing in hope, being not moved, being fully persuaded, all of that. Oh yeah, that realm is yours and it belongs to you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you another verse here and we're going to close. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. You know that word issues means source? Do you know the source of life, God's throne, flows through human agency? You got to guard that place where He births, where He seeds, where He develops, where He incubates, where He matures the hope. Guard the hope, my friend. For faith to come, I'm going to teach you how to guard it. I'm going to teach you how to feed that place. Go on from hope to faith to substance. To be a world changer. Maybe you, by watching me by way of internet, maybe you will change the very generation you live in. That single solitary promise living in you, you can't get away from it. But you got to learn how to co-labor with God. Proverbs 23 and 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's been my pleasure. We'll see you again next session. God bless you.